1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." That is not a lengthy commandment as far as words are concerned, but a very important commandment, as we can see that it's comprehensive when he says prove all things. That word means to test. And that the particular Greek word there, dokimazo, it means literally to test. So he's telling us to prove or test all things. Well, and as we do so, as we apply a test to all things, what we find then to be good, he said, we need to hold fast to, which by implication, that which is not good, according to testing all things or proving all things, is to be let go, or for us not to hold on or have any part with at all. So we want to study this morning about proving all things so that we can hold fast that which is good. Now, behind all of this, of course, is that there has to be the right standard of testing to apply. If we are going to prove all things, that is to test all things, we must use a standard by which we will test all things. And that standard is also what will determine what is good and what is not. When he says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, how do we know what is good? Well, the only way we know what is good is by the standard of the test by which we are proving all things. So it begins by our having the right standard for testing. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, the Lord made it clear what is not to be the standard of testing. He says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Let's ask the question in our world today. Do we see mankind trying to direct his own steps? Do we see man trying to determine or decide what is good in his sight to do whatever it is that he desires to do by determining for himself what is good or what is right? I mean, that's what we see in the world. That's not new. This has been around for a long time. As we want to go back and actually trace the history of it. It goes back to the beginning. But for man to use the wrong standard to test things by and to determine what is good by, that is a problem that has been around from the beginning. It plagues man today. We do not need to, and we must not, fall into that trap of using the wrong standard. We can't use what we think or how we feel. Or what somebody else thinks. We have to have the right standard by which we are going to prove all things to determine what is good. Because if we use the wrong standard, by that wrong standard, we may come up with a particular answer about what is good. But if it's not the right standard, it's going to be the wrong answer. And so we have to have the right standard of judgment to use to prove all things to determine what is good so that we can hold fast to that which is good. Well, our own thoughts, our own ways, that of man is not the right standard of testing. God's word is, and it's the only right standard of testing. John chapter 6, let's turn there and read verses 66 through 68. John 6, verses 66 through 68. This is a lengthy chapter, and it's in this chapter that Jesus taught the people that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood to have life in them. Many of them misunderstood that. They were thinking that he was talking about in some physical way. But Jesus made it clear to his disciples in verse 63, the words that he was speaking to them, he says, they are spirit and they are life. What is of the flesh profits nothing. So he was not talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood in the physical sense. That of the flesh profits nothing. But his words, he says, are spirit and they're life. Well, there were, verse 66 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. By their misunderstanding of his teachings, they decided they would not follow him anymore. So in verse 67, Jesus said unto the 12, his apostles, he says, will you also go away? Now in verse 68, it says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now, the Apostle Peter understood, as did the rest of them, except for Judas, and those disciples that continued to follow him and didn't go back from following him, they understood that Jesus did speak those words of truth and that his words were life, that he had the words of eternal life. And it's only by the standard of his word that we will be able to have eternal life. Only God can tell us what is good and what is not. And that's found in his word. We can't use any other standard and be right when we test all things. In chapter 10, John chapter 10, Jesus was also teaching on this subject, using an analogy of the shepherd and the sheep. He is our shepherd, we're his sheep. But for that to be the case, for us to follow him, we have to know his voice and follow his voice and none other. John 10, 1 through 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Who should we listen to? Well, as the Apostle Peter said, for us, to whom shall we go? Who else should we follow? What other standard can we use to judge anything, to prove anything? What other standard is there to tell us or teach us what is right or what is wrong? What is going to guide us in our lives and direct our steps other than God through his word? If we're trying any other way, then we're listening to the wrong voice and we're going to be on the wrong path. We need to listen to the voice of our shepherd as any sheep would. So we will know his voice, we will know his word, we will use his word as our standard of judgment to prove all things. And when we find from his voice teaching us what is good, then we're going to hold fast to that and we will reject anything else. But as far as any other voice is concerned, will a sheep follow the voice of a stranger? No, they won't. And he compares us to that. If we're following Christ, can we use any other standard of judgment or measurement to test things by other than by the voice of our shepherd? We would run from any other voice, he says. We must. And so we should not listen to any other or use any other standard. Now, as we saw in chapter 6, the words that Jesus speaks, they are life. They are the words of eternal life. And so in chapter 12, John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus made it clear that that is the very standard and the only standard that's going to be used on the day of judgment. And yes, there's going to be a judgment day. There is going to be that day in which all mankind, everyone that has ever lived, all that God has made in his image, all of us here and everybody else that's ever lived, rich or poor, everybody that's ever lived is going to be before the Lord on that day, the day of judgment, and we're all going to give account to our Maker on how we've lived our lives on this earth. And he's going to judge us all. And our eternity and where we spend it is going to be determined on that day by God, our Maker, using this standard of judgment that Jesus speaks of here in chapter 12, John chapter 12 and verse 48. He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So God is fair. He has told us ahead of time, made it very clear. Here is what he's going to judge us by. Here's the standard. It's not kept a mystery from us. If it's a mystery to us, it's because we have not gone and sought him to learn his word and his teachings to know what standard we're going to be judged by. But the Lord has made it, made that very clear to us. He has made it very available to us. And he's told us plainly, this is the standard by which I'm going to judge you. These words. That's the only standard, his word. There's not going to be another standard that we're going to be judged by. That being the standard by which he's going to judge us is the same standard, therefore, that we must be using now to prove all things so we can know what is good and hold fast to that which is good. If we've proved all things, tested everything, and if we hold fast what is good according to the standard of God's word, then are we not prepared to be judged by that very standard and give account of our conduct in our lives when we face him in the judgment one day. I mean, that's the only way that we're going to be able to hear those words that are recorded in Matthew 25 that he says will be spoken to those who do his will. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want to hear those words that we've done well, that we've done what is good and right in his sight. But that's only going to happen if we have followed his standard, if we've used that one and only standard by which we prove all things and hold fast that which is good in this life. Now, as we mentioned a while ago, the history of man not following God's standard and listening to his word, but rather listening to something else, listening to himself, following some other standard, that has been there from the beginning, because the devil is there trying to get us to not listen to God, not to use his word as the standard, but rather to listen to anything else other than what God has said. In Genesis chapter 2, the second chapter of the Bible, chapter 1 gives in detail the creation, God's creation of all things in 6 days, including man in his image. Well, in chapter 2, he put man in that Garden of Eden, and he gave man the job to tend that garden. And in that garden, he placed the tree of life in the midst thereof in verse 9 of Genesis 2, and also the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it says in Genesis 2, verse 9. When we get down to Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Was that a standard that God gave? Was that a standard by which Adam could prove all things? Is that a standard by which he could test whether he should eat the fruit of any particular tree or not? That was the standard. God gave him the standard. You may eat of all of these trees, every one of them, except this one. And here's what will happen if you do. Well, all he had to do was look at the fruit on any tree, apply that standard of God's word to test it, and he would have the right answer. And then he could hold fast that which is good and eat of all of those trees except for that one. And as long as he refrained from eating that one, then he was proving all things and holding fast that which is good. Well, in chapter 3, we know what happened in verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" What's the answer? The Lord did say, you will not eat of every tree, all but one. So verse 2, "The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die." So there was God's word, the standard. Now here comes the devil providing some other option, providing another standard by which to judge or by which to determine whether something was right or wrong or good or evil. And of course, it's the wrong standard. He contradicted what God said and said, "You will not surely die." And then verse 5, he says, "For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." When she saw that the tree was good for food, what was that by God's standard? Did God ever say to her, to Adam, or to Eve, "This tree of the knowledge of good and evil is good for food"? He did not say that. That was not God's word. Who said that? That came from the devil. And she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. God did not give that teaching to them. That came from the devil. That was his lie. But then they used what he said, and then they applied that as their standard of measurement or testing there, and then concluded, "We can eat of that tree," and they did. And what happened? Well, they suffered the consequences, the wages of sin, which is death, Romans 6:23, and that's what God had promised to them there, and that's what happened. But they forsook his standard of judgment, his word, and so they came up with the wrong answer and did what was wrong because they did not follow God's word. In chapter 4, the same thing happened with Cain. Abel proved all things, and he held fast to that which is good. His brother Cain did not. In Genesis 4, verses 1 through 5, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, 'I have gotten a man from the Lord.' And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." And we know he ended up murdering his brother there. So he added sin to sin. But he first went wrong by using the wrong standard of judgment. God spoke to both of them and gave them instructions as far as what they were to offer to him as an offering at that time. Though the words or the details of that aren't recorded there in Genesis 4. But we know in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain." And we're also told in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12 that Cain did that which was evil in his sacrifice, which means he transgressed God's law. His brother's works were righteous, but his own were evil. Well, the only way that Abel's works could be right and Cain's to be wrong was by God giving that standard of judgment. Sin is transgression of the law, 1 John 3, verse 4. And faith comes by hearing God's word, Romans 10, 17. So God gave them the law. He spoke his word to them. He gave them instructions. Here's what to offer, here, and anything else would be wrong. Well, Abel took what God said. He proved all things. He held fast that which was good by offering what God said. Well, Cain did something different, something that God had not authorized. He applied a different standard, and he was wrong, and he did evil. So there it was, as in Genesis 3, we see more in Genesis 4. Leviticus chapter 10, 1 and 2, we have two sons of the high priest Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. And on this occasion in Leviticus chapter 10, 1 and 2, God had told his priests and given instructions to them as to what offerings they were to make and what kind of incense they were to burn. But it tells us in Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, "Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire." That was foreign to what God had commanded. That's what that word strange means. Before the Lord, which he commanded them not. He had not commanded them to offer that kind of offering. And it says, "And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Well, God had given his standard. He had spoken to them and told them what they were to offer, just like he had with Cain and Abel. And just like Cain, these two offered something different than what God had commanded. They applied a different standard of measurement by which to test, well, can we offer this or not? Should we offer this or not? They didn't use God's word there. They followed some other standard. Well, we think this is just as good. And they offered something different than what God had commanded. And they were wrong. And they suffered the consequences there. Of course, as they lost their lives for what they had done. God gave Israel, his people Israel, his standard by which to prove all things. That was by the law of Moses in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 and 20. But it was God's word that he gave them by which to prove all things. Deuteronomy 30, chapter 30, verses 15 to 20. "See, I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." He said, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. And then he said, choose life. He gave them the standard. He says, here it is. Here's how you will know what's good or evil. Here's how you know what is right and wrong. Test everything by this. Hold fast that which is good. Choose life. So God gave them that standard by his word. Now, they didn't follow it either. We have many examples of the history of Israel going astray from him and not choosing life. In Joshua's time, Joshua chapter 24, we go to that last chapter of the book of Joshua. He was Moses' successor as a judge of Israel and was the Lord's prophet to them. And in Joshua chapter 24, starting in verse 14, Joshua besought the people to choose life, to choose doing what is good by God's standard, by his word. He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that after he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you're witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. So there it was. They had sworn they were going to follow the Lord. That meant they were going to follow the voice of his mouth, his words. They were going to use that as their one and only standard to prove all things, so they would know what is good to hold fast to, and that they would reject and turn away from anything that was not good according to the word of God. That was the covenant that they swore to under Joshua, that they would serve the Lord. Now we can read further, their children forsook the Lord and did not follow him. And so it was for many generations of Israelites to follow. That was their cycle and their history of repeated rebellion and rejection of God. In Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah in chapter 23, through that great prophet, the Lord told the people to quit listening to their false prophets that they had among them. Jeremiah chapter 23, we want to start our reading here in verse 13. It says, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Now this is what happened to the people of Israel when they listened to the false prophets, when they used a different standard of judgment or measurement by which to prove all things. They tested things according to the words of these false prophets. And, of course, the false prophet said what they were doing was just fine, even though God said it wasn't. And so in their evil, when they are told by these prophets that they're listening to that what they were doing was good and okay, then they strengthened the hands of the evildoers. They became stronger in their evil. They were encouraged to continue in it. And so in verse 15, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. What is man saying today? What is man saying today in our world about all kinds of behavior? That it's okay, that whatever they're doing is okay. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. What your lifestyle, whatever this is, it's okay. It's just as good as any other lifestyle. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. That you're fine in what you're doing. In fact, the only person that's wrong, the only people that are wrong, or anybody that would tell you it's not okay. I mean, that's what we're hearing in our world today. It's no different than what they had back then. The people were encouraged in doing evil because everybody was telling them it was okay to do. But he asked the question in verse 18 here, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Who was listening to the only right standard by which to prove all things? At that time, they had forsaken that. The Lord even said in verse 22, he says, if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. It's only by using that standard of God's word by which to prove all things are we going to know what is good so that we can turn away from the evil and do and hold fast to that which is good like the Lord tells us to do. So in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he teaches us this same principle regarding the wisdom of men, that we are to reject that because God has exposed it as foolishness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, what happens with the world by its own wisdom, as far as God is concerned? He says, by the world by its wisdom, they do not know God. They're not going to have the right answer about what is good or what is evil, what is proper and what is not. They can't, because that's the wrong standard. And so the world doesn't know God by its own wisdom. God has exposed that wisdom of men to be foolishness. So in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's read there verses 18 through 20. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Now, anytime we read a verse in God's word, and there's several of them, that begins with those words, let no man deceive himself, we can be confident that whatever he's about to say is something that the large majority of the world is very much deceived about. That it's very common to be deceived on whatever that point is, such as the case here. Those in the world that are deemed to be wise or see themselves as being wise, what is that wisdom with God? It's foolishness. How right is man in what he says about anything to do with right and wrong? Man is wrong. God is right. Let God be true and every man a liar, as the Lord tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. That's the fact of the matter. God knows that the thoughts of man, they're vain. And so it's vanity for us to try to direct our own steps, for us to follow the standard of man's wisdom to determine what is right or wrong. Back to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs. Now, this is in the Old Testament. This is not the law of Moses. This is God's wisdom speaking. And in fact, he even quotes, many times from the book of Proverbs in the New Testament. What he says right here is just as true and applicable today as it was back when he gave these words through Solomon in the beginning. Of course, we're under a different covenant. We're under the law of Christ, but this point is very much true. Verses 5 through 8 here in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. We need to listen to that and not lean to our own understanding. We need to make sure that we're trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, that we're letting Him direct our paths, that we're not following the standard of man's wisdom and understanding. He says, don't lean to your own. Well, if I shouldn't lean to my understanding, should you lean to my understanding? And if you shouldn't lean to yours, should I lean to yours? We shouldn't be leaning to any man's understanding. We should not be leaning to the understanding of anyone but the Almighty God. And by His Word, that is the only way that we can know what is good and what is right. He has set before us what is good and what is right. And we need to choose life and prove all things and then hold fast to that which is good according to what our God has taught us in His Word. This is an opportunity this morning for you to become a child of God, to listen to His Word, to listen to His instructions, His teachings, His commandments on how to be His child, as God has given His Son Jesus Christ for the sins of the whole world. For God hath so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know we've all heard John 3:16. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 tells us. God has provided the opportunity for eternal salvation to everyone through His Son, Jesus Christ. But we have to believe in Him, as John 3:16 says. Otherwise, we'll die in our sins, John 8:24. But that belief in Him has to be expressed through our obedience to His gospel. As Jesus said in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, that He has become the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. We have to repent. We have to be willing to confess our faith in Him before men and be baptized into Him for the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. If you need to do that this morning, we're encouraging you to do that right now. If you're a child of God, if you need to repent and return to the Lord, if you've gone astray, this is an opportunity for you to again prove all things and then hold fast that which is good. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come now while we stand together and sing.